Girl. On a Wednesday night, another girl, who I meet at MK, and I plan to torture and film. This one remains nameless to me, and she sits on the couch in the living room of my apartment. A bottle of champagne, Cristal, half empty, sits on the glass table. I punch in tunes, numbers that light up the Wurlitzer. She finally asks, "What's that smell in here?" And I answer under my breath, "A dead rat." And then I'm opening the windows, the sliding glass door that leads out to the terrace. Even though it's a chilly night, mid-autumn, and she's dressed scantily, but she has another glass of the Cristal, and it seems to warm her enough so that she's able to ask me what I do for a living. I tell her that I went to Harvard, and then started working on Wall Street at Pearson Pierce after I graduated from business school there. And when she asks, either confused or jokingly, "What's that?" I swallow with my back to her, straightening the new Annika, find the strength to force out, "Shoe store?" I did a line of cocaine I found in my medicine cabinet when we first came back to my place, and the Cristal takes the edge off it, but only slightly. The Patty Winter show this morning was about a machine that lets people talk to the dead. This girl is wearing a wool Barathea jacket and skirt, a silk georgette blouse, agate and ivory earrings by Stephen Dweck, a silk jacquard torselette vest, all from where? Caravari, I'm guessing. In the bedroom, she's naked and oiled and sucking my dick, and I'm standing over her, and then I'm slapping her in the face with it, grabbing her hair with my hand, calling her a fucking whore bitch. And this turns her on even more. And while lamely sucking my cock, she starts fingering her clit. And when she's asking me, "Do you like this?" while looking at the balls, I'm answering, "Yep, yep," and breathing hard. Her breasts are high and full and firm, both nipples very stiff. And while she's choking on my cock while I'm fucking her mouth roughly with it, I reach down to squeeze them. And then while I'm fucking her, after ramming a dildo up her ass and keeping it there with a strap, I'm scratching at her tits until she warns me to stop. Earlier in the evening, I was having dinner with Jeanette at a new northern Italian restaurant near Central Park on the Upper East Side that was very expensive. Earlier in the evening, I was wearing a suit tailored by Edward Sexton and thinking sadly about my family's house in Newport. Earlier in the night, after dropping Jeanette off, I stopped at MK for a fundraiser that had something to do with Dan Quayle, who even I don't like. At MK, the girl I'm fucking came on hard to me, upstairs on a couch, while I was waiting to play pool. "Oh, God," she sang. Excited, I slap her, then lightly punch her in the mouth and kiss it, biting her lips. Fear, dread, confusion overwhelm her. The strap breaks and the dildo slides out of her ass while she tries to push me off. I roll away and pretend to let her escape. And then, while she's gathering her clothes, muttering about what a crazy fucking bastard I am, I leap out at her, jackal-like, literally foaming at the mouth. She cries, apologizing, sobbing hysterically, begging for me not to hurt her, in tears covering her breasts now shamefully. But even her sobs fail to arouse me. I feel little gratification when I mace her, less when I knock her head against the wall 4 or 5 times until she loses consciousness, leaving a small stain, hair stuck to it. After she drops to the floor, I head for the bathroom and cut another line of the mediocre coke I scored at Nell's or O-Bar the other night. I can hear a phone ringing, an answering machine picking up the call. I'm bent low over a mirror, ignoring the message, not even bothering to screen it. Later, predictably, she's tied to the floor, naked, on her back, both feet, both hands, tied to makeshift posts that are connected to boards which are weighted down with metal. The hands are shot full of nails, and her legs are spread as wide as possible. A pillow props her ass up, and cheese, brie, has been smeared across her open cunt, some of it even pushed up into the vaginal cavity. She's barely gained consciousness, and when she sees me, standing over her, naked, I can imagine that my virtual absence of humanity fills her with mind-bending horror. I've situated the body in front of the new Toshiba television set And in the VCR is an old tape, and appearing on the screen is the last girl I filmed. I'm wearing a Joseph Aboud suit, a tie by Paul Stewart, shoes by J. Crew, a vest by someone Italian, and I'm kneeling on the floor beside a corpse, eating the girl's brain, gobbling it down, spreading gray poupon over hunks of the pink fleshy meat. "Can you see this?" I ask the girl, not on the television set. "Can you see it? Are you watching?" I whisper. I try using the power drill on her, forcing it into her mouth, but she's conscious enough, has strength, to close her teeth, clamping them down, and even though the drill goes through the teeth quickly, it fails to interest me. So I hold her head up, blood dribbling from her mouth, and make her watch the rest of the tape, and while she's looking at the girl on the screen, bleed from almost every possible orifice, I'm hoping she realizes that this would have happened to her, no matter what. That she would have ended up lying here on the floor in my apartment, hands nailed to posts, cheese and broken glass pushed up into her cunt, her head cracked and bleeding purple, no matter what other choice she might have made. That if she had gone to Nell's, or Andersheen, or Mars, or Obar, instead of MK, if she had simply not taken the cab with me to the Upper West Side, that this all would have happened anyway. I would have found her. This is the way the earth works. I decide not to bother with the camera tonight. I'm trying to ease one of the hollow plastic tubes from the dismantled habitrail system up into her vagina, forcing the vaginal lips around one of it, and even with most of it greased with olive oil, it's not fitting in properly. During this, the jukebox plays Frankie Valli singing "The Worst That Could Happen," and I'm grimly lip-syncing to it while pushing the habitrail tube up into this bitch's cunt. I finally have to resort to pouring acid around the outside of the pussy so that the flesh can give way to the greased end of the habitrail, and soon enough it slides in, easily. "I hope this hurts you," I say. The rat hurls itself against the glass cage as I move it from the kitchen into the living room. It refused to eat what was left of the other rat I had bought it to play with last week, that now lies dead, rotting in a corner of the cage. For the last 5 days, I've purposely starved it. I set the glass cage down next to the girl, and maybe because of the scent of the cheese, the rat seems to go insane, first running in circles, mewling, then trying to heave its body weak with hunger over the side of the cage. The rat doesn't need any prodding, and the bent coat hanger I was going to use remains untouched by my side. And with the girl still conscious, the thing moves effortlessly on newfound energy, racing up the tube until half of its body disappears, and then after a minute, its rat body shaking while it feeds, all of it vanishes, except for the tail. And I yank the habitrail tube out of the girl, trapping the rodent. Soon even the tail disappears. The noises the girl is making are, for the most part, incomprehensible. I can already tell that it's going to be a characteristically useless, senseless death. But then I'm used to the horror. It seems distilled. Even now it fails to upset or bother me. I'm not mourning. And to prove it to myself, after a minute or two of watching the rat move under her lower belly, making sure the girl is still conscious, shaking her head in pain, her eyes wide with terror and confusion, I use a chainsaw, and in a matter of seconds cut the girl in two with it. The whirring teeth go through skin and muscle and sinew and bones so fast that she stays alive long enough to watch me pull her legs away from her body, her actual thighs, what's left of her mutilated vagina, and hold them up in front of me, spouting blood, like trophies almost. Her eyes stay open for a moment, desperate and unfocused, then close, and finally, before she dies, I force a knife uselessly up her nose, until it slides out of the flesh on her forehead. And then I hack the bone off her chin. She has only half a mouth left, and I fuck it once, then twice, 3 times in all. Not caring whether she's still breathing or not, I gouge her eyes out, finally using my fingers. The rat emerges, head first. Somehow it turned itself around inside the cavity, and it's stained with purple blood. I also notice where the chainsaw took off about half of its tail. And I feed it extra brie until I feel I have to stomp it to death, which I do. Later, the girl's femur and left jawbone lie in the oven, baking. and tufts of pubic hair fill a Steuben crystal ashtray. And when I light them, they burn very quickly.